guys. Here's another installment in my Halloween Eek Week, my extra movie reviews that I'm doing for the week of Halloween. And now that we're getting closer and closer to the actual day, I wanted to do some really more movies that really kind of give me that Halloween type of vibe. And like I said, a lot of that, not always, because the one I'm doing tomorrow is not, but a lot of them are sort of like, I don't want to say necessarily kids movies or family friendly movies, but are sort of like kids horror movies. So that's why I was talking about Monster Squad previously. And, you know, I have another one that's coming up as well. But this movie right here, which came out in 1990, is probably, I mean, I think that most people that have seen it, I kind of feel like it's one of those movies that gets brought up anytime anyone is talking about the scariest kids movies ever made. This is The Witches from 1990. Now, I think that it was remade recently, although I haven't seen the remake, and I'm sure it's like, you know, it's all CGI and everything. But this movie right here, I kind of feel like I wasn't a kid when this came out, because 1990 was the same year that I graduated high school. But I remember seeing this and being like, wow, that's pretty damn intense for a kid's movie. I mean, there's some really, really scary shit in this. And I've talked to some people who are younger than me, who were children when this came out and saw it when they were actual kids. And they said there's a couple scenes in this that just never left them because they were really, really scary. So, you know, and watching it again, like for this review, I was actually surprised how, man, those special effects, like especially like the transformation scenes, like with all the witches and stuff, I'm like, those witches are pretty fucking terrifying. Like even you could put that in an adult horror movie and it would be disturbing. So much less, you know, a kid's one. But honestly, I think that's really cool. Like I said, I'm of the opinion that most kids love scary shit. And kids can handle more scary shit, I think, than their parents think they can. I get it. When you have your own kid, you're just kind of like, well, I don't want my kid like having nightmares or getting traumatized or anything like that. But most kids can handle more than you think they can. And I mean, when I was a kid, and most people I knew that were kids around the same age as me, they just couldn't get enough of scary shit. Yes, they had, you know, we had nightmares from it. Yes, it bothered us. Yes, it disturbed us. Yes, we remember it still after all this time, but it was kind of like a weird, I mean, that it was an experience you wanted though. And I kind of feel like in a lot of ways, I think they should make more scary movies for kids because I think it's like a really healthy way for them to deal with, you know, the real world, because there's going to be scary shit that happens in the real world. And I think it's better if they kind of have a little bit of a practice run, I guess, because, you know, watching a scary movie, that's safe, but you can experience the same emotions. And I think that that's something that kids should, that, you know, that's an experience you should give your kids. So The Witches, in case you didn't know, it's based on the 1983 novel by good old Roald Dahl, who's, you know, obviously they made tons and tons of movie adaptations of his stuff, you know, most famously probably like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach, Matilda. You know, he's written so much stuff. And this, honestly, other than Willy Wonka, which I think is my favorite adaptation of his stuff, which he didn't like, by the way, I think this is probably my second favorite adaptation. He didn't love this one either, and I'll get into that a little bit. He was super, super picky about adaptations of his work. And this one, they actually changed the ending from the book, and he was really not happy about it, so much so that he was threatening to take his name off it. But I don't know. I'm kind of like ambivalent about, I mean, I can see arguments for either side, like either keeping the book ending or, you know, doing the movie ending the way it was. So I'm not going to really come down too hard on either side because I know, you know, there are reasons, or, you know, there are reasons why it should have been left the way it was or changed or whatever. So this was actually I had completely forgotten about this. I haven't seen this movie for like several years, but I remembered like so many scenes for it because I saw it like a million times probably back in the old days because it was on cable and stuff like that all the time. And so I had remembered like most of the scenes from it. I remembered that it was just like a cavalcade of, you know, famous British actors, you know, really great British actors. And so I remembered all that. I remembered like all the special effects, like the transformation scenes and all that. But I had actually forgotten, if indeed I ever realized, that this movie was directed by Nicholas Roeg, of all people, who, like I said, if you don't know, you know, if it's horror movie fans or art film fans obviously would know his name. He did Don't Look Now back in 1973. He did Performance with Mick Jagger, The Man Who Fell to Earth with David Bowie. I mean, he's done like all of these really weird films. So I think he was a really good choice, a really intriguing choice to adapt a Roald Dahl children's story that's this dark. Because I think, I mean, all of Roald Dahl's children's stories are pretty dark. This might be the darkest one, at least of all the ones that I've read. I haven't read all of his stuff, admittedly, but I'm pretty sure that this kind of takes some kind of cake. I'm not really sure what it is. Also, this might have been Jim Henson actually did a lot of the creature effects and stuff like that on this, you know, the Jim Henson Creature Workshop, and it was one of the last films that he worked on. And I believe Roald Dahl also passed away not too long after this came out. Or after they finished work. Because I think what happened was they made it in 1989, and then for whatever reason, it kind of got shelved for a little while because I think like the production company was going under and being like bought by somebody else. So it didn't get released until like a year after it was, until a year after it was done. So the story behind this is that there's a little boy named Luke. Now in the book, I don't think this boy is named, but they named him Luke for the movie. And he lives with his parents and his grandma. And very, very early on in the story, his parents are killed in a car accident. So his grandma kind of like takes custody of him. Now, his grandmother, in the book, she's kind of set up as sort of like, she was like a witch hunter or something like that. In the movie, not so much, but she did actually have a lot of run-ins with witches when she was younger, which, you know, and in the movie, she kind of like shows that one of her fingers, I think it's either her thumb or her pinky, I can't remember, but one of them was cut off by a witch. She said she was almost taken by a witch. So when the movie starts, she's kind of like telling Luke all of this stuff about witches, how witches are real, and they go around like, they look like normal women, but there are some ways that you can tell that they're witches. So she tells him what to look out for, you know what I mean? She's like, well, witches don't have any toes, like the end of their feet are squared off. So they never wear like pointy-toed shoes or really pretty sandals or anything like that. They always have like real square-toed, like sensible shoes on. It's like they're all bald. So they always wear wigs, and so they're always, like, scratching underneath because they have, like, you know, their scalps get all chafed and stuff. So they're all, like, scratching underneath the wigs. And also another one, too, is that their eyes have this kind of, like, purple glint to them. And she's like, so you can kind of always see that. So that's how you know that it's a witch. And she's also telling him that, you know, witches can smell little children because they hate children, like, more than anything. And there's, like, to them, a clean child smells like dog shit, pretty much, like fresh dog shit. So it's like sometimes she's like, so actually the dirtier the kid, the better off you are, because then the witch will just smell the dirt and not the kid. So it's like if you take a shower and you're all clean and everything, then the witch will smell you like, you know, like your dog shit. And she said, so if you see like a woman walking by you and she holds her nose and looks like disgusted, then that's probably a witch too. And she tells her grandson all these stories about how to recognize a witch. And she also tells this really disturbing story about a little friend of hers when she was a little girl, like back in Norway. And she said that she had this friend, little friend named Erica. And Erica actually got taken by the witches, and she was put into a painting in her parents' house. And like, so she would move around in the painting, like no one would see her move, but she was in different places, and she'd be like looking sadly out of the painting. And over the years, the little figure of her in the painting would kind of move around different places and would also get older and older. And then finally she disappeared out of the painting. So it's like this really, really creepy ghost story that she's like setting up, like the witch like put her, like imprisoned her in this painting, and she was just in there until she died or disappeared or whatever. In the book, I think that the grandmother tells several other stories about kids that she knew that witches had gotten hold of, like one got turned into a chicken and like some other things. But I think it's good that in the movie they just keep to this one like really kind of creepy story about this little girl being trapped in the painting and you know, all this other stuff. So then Luke's parents die, so, and then the grandmother has an attack of diabetes. I think in the book it was pneumonia, and is like really, really sick. So, I mean, the doctor comes and it's like, you know, you'll be fine, but you just can't eat sugar anymore and you need to go like on vacation. So the grandmother and Luke go off to, I think it's Cornwall actually in England, and they stay in this hotel, you know, up for like a little holiday, like a little beachside hotel. Now it so happens that when they're at this hotel, there is also a convention taking place for this group called like the Society for Prevention of Cruelty Toward Children, and it will surprise no one to discover that this is actually a cover group for a massive coven of witches. So basically, the Grand High Witch arrives at this hotel. The Grand High Witch is played by Angelica Houston, and I love Angelica Houston. She's a great fucking actress. Obviously, she was Morticia Adams, like, just a year after this came out, and this role, man, she was born to play this, man. You can tell that she's having a great fucking time, just vamping it up. And I love the way she's just like, she's so haughty, and she's, every time like somebody asks her about children, she's always like, you know, looks like she's gonna vomit because she's so disgusted by them. And it's just, it's so great. She's just so fucking great in this. And it's funny because when the scene where she does like her big transformation, like where you see what she actually looks like, they said that makeup took like 6 hours to put on, 6 hours, 8 hours, I think it was 6 hours to put on and 6 hours to take off. And there's one scene where she's in this full like prosthetic and she's there like giving this big long monologue and stuff, and she's like after a while, like all the takes and everything, she's like, I just started spacing out, like I didn't even, the words weren't even making any sense anymore just because it was so uncomfortable. But you would never know that from her performance. I mean, you can imagine it like looking at the makeup, and the makeup is fucking incredible, which I'll get into in a bit, but just, I mean, that's just the caliber of actress that she is, that as uncomfortable as she must have been under those layers and layers of prosthetics, you would never, ever know it from her performance. She is just great, like swinging her hands around and just like vamping and being like this. She's just a great, great villain. So she shows up at the hotel, like I said, and because, and it so happens that Luke, who has received like two little white mice for a present, like for his birthday from his grandmother, and he's kind of taken them into this ballroom and he's like playing with them and stuff. And it turns out that this ballroom is where the witches are all meeting. So the witches all go in there and basically they all look like normal women. But then, like, after all the doors are closed and locked and everything, Angelica Houston tells me, okay, well, now you can take off all your shoes and you can take off your wigs and your faces and everything like that. So they could just kind of, like, you know, hang out and be their witchy selves. And at this point, I mean, even today, this came out in 1990, this just goes to show you get awesome practical effects and they will never date. Because the scene of her peeling her face off, and then like just her face is just, oh my God. It's like, if you haven't seen it, it's like indescribably awesome. She almost kind of looks like a Skeksis from the Dark Crystal kind of, I mean, which like I said, that's not surprising because it was the Jim Henson creature shop, but she just looks, she's got these purple eyes and this big like witchy nose and she's big like fucking ball sack of a chin and she's all like warty and shit like that. And she's got these big long fingers with like these big fucking nails on there. It's like, it's terrifying and amazing, and it's just, I fucking love it. And like I said, just the fact, I mean, I don't know, man, it's like I just wish that I had the skill to do that for a Halloween costume, because that would be fucking epic. It just looks so fucking good. So yeah, so she comes out and basically she's like, you guys, like all you witches of England, you're fucking slacking. Why are all these disgusting little children running around? They all need to be wiped off the face of the earth. So that's kind of like the witch's goal, is they want to just kill all the children on earth because they find them disgusting. So she's like, okay, so I've come up with this new plan. I've invented this serum called Formula 86. And she's like, and I have like a whole shit ton of it that I made. And what you're gonna do, I have all this money and I'm gonna give all of you some money and you're all gonna open candy stores. And then when the kids come in to buy the candy, all the candy is gonna have this Formula 86 in it, and it's gonna turn them all into mice. Now, what she has decided to do, she's like, I'm going to show you guys how good this shit works. There's this kid that was staying in the hotel that Luke had interacted with earlier. He's like a little fat kid. Not as fat as Augustus Gloop, you know, but, you know, kind of a little pudgy. And obviously, because he's a little pudgy kid and this is a Roald Dahl story, he's always eating. And that's like all he talks about or thinks about. And his parents are kind of these rich, tough type people, and they just don't like pay any attention to where the kid is. His name is Bruno, by the way. So I guess like the Grand High Witch 2 hours previously had gone to Bruno and said, hey, come to the ballroom at like this particular time and I'm going to give you like 6 big ass chocolate bars. So of course Bruno's like, okay, I'll be there. So she had put the poison in the chocolate that she gave him initially. And she's like, and if you only give one dose, it takes like 2 hours to work. So when he shows up here, we're going to like watch him and you can see the transformation. So he shows up and, you know, meanwhile, Luke, who's still hiding in the ballroom and the witches don't know that he's there, he not only hears like all of their plans, like what the witches are planning on doing, but he sees Bruno transformed into a mouse. Now, he actually, so that happens. Bruno kind of gets away, like in his mouse form, and he runs off. And then after all that, like the witches are like, oh, that's so cool. And like I said, the transformation from the kid into the mouse is also great. Like it's just, it reminds me of a little bit, you know, from like Twilight Zone, the movie, the part with Anthony where there were all like the big rabbit coming out of the hat, like with the spinning and all that kind of stuff. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit with all this kind of like green smoke. And it's just, it looks really, really good. So yeah, so Bruno runs off and then all of the witches start smelling dog shit, which means there's like there's a child in here and we need to like find him. So at that point, Luke is kind of like, they see him. And so he manages to get out of the ballroom, but then the Grand High Witch like figures out where he's staying. So goes up to his hotel room later on, snatches him, like drugs his grandma, and then snatches him and takes him back down to the ballroom and also turns him into a mouse. So from that point on, Luke and Bruno are now both mice and they can talk. So they basically, they know all the plan of like what the witches are going to do. So in their mouse form, with the help of the grandma who has since woken up, they go and tell, you know, grandma what's going on. And they're like, we need to go get that, the serum that she made. And maybe we can, put it in the witch's food and it'll turn all of them into mice. So we can like, you know, we can save the day or whatever. And that is indeed what happens. So like I said, there is some terrifying, terrifying shit in this. I think most people, the most terrified by the great scene of Angelica Houston, the Grand High Witch, showing her true form. And like I said, just peeling the face off. It looks so fucking good. I just can't stress to you like how fucking awesome it looks. I can see if you're like a really little kid, that would probably like fucking scar you for life. I mean, it's really scary. And like I said, it looks really scary even for an adult horror film, like much less a kid's one. I always remember kind of being freaked out too by, you know, the kid getting turned into the mice. And also there was a scene where, and it's almost kind of like a throwaway, but there's a scene where Luke is running through the kit. Luke and Bruno in their mouse form are like running through the kitchen and all the kitchen workers are like whacking at him with like a cleaver, which always kind of disturbed me because I like mice. Mice are cute. And it actually like one of the cleavers like takes the end of his tail off and there's like blood and stuff. I'm like, holy crap. That's like, this is like freaking me out and I'm a grown up, but it's like, you know, so there's that kind of shit going on too. But in the end, they actually do, they end up getting the serum into this soup, like this Crest soup. All the witches eat it and they all pretty much turn into mice. And then the Grand High Witch, who turns into like the ugliest mouse, actually gets cleavered in half by Rowan Atkinson, of all people. Like I said, there's just a cavalcade of like awesome British actors in this. Jane Horrocks is in this and I love her. She's, you know, she was on Absolutely Fabulous. She was Bubble. She was in Little Voice, which is a great movie. She was in Life is Sweet, the Mike Leigh movie. I mean, she's fantastic. So she's in this as like, she's sort of like the secretary of the Grand High Witch. And, you know, the Grand High Witch kind of treats her like crap because she's, you know, the help or whatever. And she kind of is instrumental in what happens at the end, like the coda, which a lot of people didn't really like because they changed it from the book, which I'll get into in a minute. Like I said, Rowan Atkinson is in this. Brenda Blethyn is in this. There's just tons and tons of great British actors. I think I was watching Minty Comedic Arts, that Australian dude. Is he Australian or New Zealand? I can't remember. But he has a channel where he has like a lot of trivia about movies and stuff. And apparently one of the witches in the ballroom scene, because a lot of them were played by men, I guess because they're like, well, if we get bald men, then we don't have to like get bald wigs for all the women. Because I mean, it specifically says that all the witches are women. So it's really weird because you can clearly tell that some of the people in the thing are in the ballroom are men. But one of the men back there is Michael Palin. And there's, you know, he's just in the background, but it's like, it's very clearly him. He's like wearing a wig and stuff. But yeah, so I thought that was really funny. So like I said, there's, if you're into like British cinema at all or British TV, it's like you will recognize a shit ton of people in this. There's just tons of recognizable actors. So the controversy, because I don't know if it's a controversy, but what ended up happening with this was that at the end of the book, essentially Luke stays a mouse. You know, he doesn't get turned back, and it's, this would seem like a sad ending, but Roald Dahl argued that he's like, no, it's actually kind of a happy ending because the kid, one, he seemed like happy as a mouse because he's like, oh, I don't have to go to school. It's like, it's a much simpler life. And a kind of bittersweet thing too was that his grandmother was sick and she was older. And he's like, well, since mice don't live very long, then, you know, me and her will have the rest of our lives together and I won't have to live on after she dies. Which, like I said, sounds sad, but it's also kind of like uplifting too. So in the book, he stays a mouse. He doesn't get turned back. So apparently they filmed two endings for the movie, one in which Luke stayed a mouse, and the movie, and the ending, which you see now in the final movie, where Jane Horrocks, the, you know, the secretary to the Grand High Witch, who's been mistreated so long that she decides she's still a witch, but she's going to be a good witch now. So she actually comes back and turns Luke back into a human, and also sends all the money from that the Grand High Witch had that she was going to give to all the witches so the witches could open the candy shops and blah, blah, blah. So she had this big trunk full of money. So she ends up giving all of the money to the grandma and turning Luke back into a little boy, you know, which, like I said, I can see. I don't know if they showed it to test audiences and test audiences were like, I don't know how I feel about this kid, like just having to spend the rest of his life as a mouse. That is kind of fucked up. But it's really weird because I hadn't seen this movie in such a long time, and I could have sworn that at the end of this movie, he stayed a mouse. And then I was like, I was watching it, and then, because for a while, he's kind of like, oh, I don't mind being a mouse, Grandma, and she's kind of crying and stuff, and, you know, because that'd be kind of fucked up, like I said, if your grandson was, just had to live the rest of his life as a mouse. But then I was like, oh, yeah, the witch, the good witch shows up and turns him back into a boy. So, I don't know, I don't... Both endings are fine, you know, and I don't think that him staying a mouse would have necessarily been a sad ending, like I said, because at least he wouldn't, I mean, he was an orphan now, his parents were dead, so his argument being, you know, his grandmother was the only person left on Earth that loved him, and he didn't want to live without her, like, after she was dead, so, you know, the shorter lifespan of a mouse, I think it was 9 years in the book or something like that, you know, would have ensured that they would have lived out the rest of their life together. In the movie, he's turned back into a boy, and because they have essentially unlimited money, like just shit tons of money, this whole trunk full, the trunk also had like a black book in it, and it had all of the names and addresses of all the witches in America. So then it's kind of implied that Luke and his grandma are going to become like witch finder general, and then they're going to go to the US and they're going to hunt out down all the witches there and save all the children from being wiped out by the witches. So, you know, which actually would have kind of been an awesome sequel. That could be a whole series, like that kid and his grandma just growing around kicking witch ass like all over the world. That'd have been pretty awesome. I mean, I guess it would kind of get redundant after a while, like, but you know, there's like different spells you could do. I don't know. I'm kind of workshopping it in my mind. I'm like, no, that could work. I'd watch that. But yeah, so I don't know. So I don't know if you've read the book or seen the movie, or, you know, did you see it as a kid? Did it traumatize you? Have you shown it to your kid to see if it like scared the shit out of them? Because pretty much most of the reviews that I've seen of, you know, people who are younger than me, because like I said, I was about 18 when this came out. I think I did see it in the theater, though, because I was like, oh, okay, Roald Dahl and Jim Henson, I'm down for that. I don't care if I'm 18. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater, and I really, really liked it, because it's super, super dark for a kid's movie. And just the way it's shot, I mean, some of the great shots, like particularly in the ballroom where the witches start to show their true form, and they have those creepy, like, freaky purple eyes and shit like that. And then, like, Nicholas Roeg does these things where he does these really like grotesque kind of close ups, and so it's just like the way it's shot is just really, it's almost like surreal and kind of like skewed, and it really does lend something to it, like gives it this really kind of creepy, like dark fantasy kind of shit going on. And like I said, there's like some, there's funny moments in it too, obviously, because, you know, Rowan Atkinson is in it. There's like a lot of comedic moments too, but the fucked up stuff is like pretty fucked up, particularly for a movie aimed at children. I think this was PG when it came out. This was after the PG-13 rating, so interestingly, it didn't get a PG-13, it just got a PG. But yeah, so let me know if you've read the book, or if you, if you saw it when you were a kid and it traumatized you or whatever. And, you know, I'm really curious to see how younger people maybe reacted to this, how people my age reacted to it, or people that were, you know, little kids when it came out, if you saw it when you were a kid. Because I read, like, a lot of, I was reading comments on a review of it, and a lot of people who were kind of younger than me had seen it when they were kids, like in third or fourth grade or whatever, and talking about how it just, like, fucking freaked them the fuck out. And a lot of them had read the book, too, and a lot of them didn't like the ending because they said, you know, they didn't really like the happy ending where Luke turned back into a kid. But, like I said, it didn't really bother me all that much. I don't remember if I actually read the book or not. I probably did because I read a lot of Roald Dahl around that time. You know, I do like the, you know, him staying a mouse, but it doesn't bother me all that much. But honestly, Roald Dahl hated that end so much that he threatened to take his name off the movie, and he was going to, like, have an ad campaign to discourage people from seeing it. That's how fucking mad he was that they changed the ending. But, you know, they managed to, like, talk him down from that ledge. So, like I said, Roald Dahl was notoriously very, very picky about movie adaptations of his work. And I think, like, even after, because this was the last one that was made before he died, I think even at his will, he had, like, the stipulation that, you know, it has to, like, adhere to the story and blah, blah, blah. Like, he had all this legal stuff done. But, that said, this is a great movie. And like I said, this is one of those movies that I wish they made more of. Like, you know, it seems like they're going maybe back more in that direction. But I really, really like these kind of really dark kids movies, children's entertainment that are really, really scary for kids, but also adults can enjoy them as well, because I think those are the movies that really, when you see them as a kid, it really makes an impression. And, you know, and this is one of the best ones, one of the scariest kids movies ever made. The special effects, the makeup effects are just fucking phenomenal. God, man, I just wish that I could do makeup like that, that I could do that face, because that would be like a fucking epic Halloween costume. Maybe one day when I have like a year or two to work on it. But yeah, let me know what you thought about The Witches from 1990. If you've read the book, what you thought about the ending, and what you thought about Angelica Houston in one of her best roles. I mean, there's a lot of those, but I almost kind of like this better than Morticia, just because she was so evil and she seemed to be having such a great time. But yeah, this is a fantastic family movie, great movie for Halloween. So watch it with your kids and then leave their lights on, because they're going to be like really, really freaked out. But yeah, so that will do it for this movie review on my Halloween Eek Week. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.